you can follow a business plan. You find a property that's in the market. Their rents are maybe X amount of dollars less than the other places across the street. Increase the value, make it nice. You can justify the rent increase, justify the revenue increase, which then increases the value of the property.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today with Dr. Nimish Patel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Nimish is a husband married for 18 years and father of four boys. He lives in the Denver, Colorado area where he likes to take advantage of spending that mountain lifestyle with his family, with skiing in the winter and hiking 14ers in the summer. He's an orthopedic trauma surgeon, also takes care of some patients needing total hip and knee replacements. He's a graduate of Emory University and then obtained a medical degree from the University of Arkansas, completed his orthopedic training at Ochsner Clinic Foundation in New Orleans, and then did a trauma fellowship at Harvard Medical School. He currently practices at and sits on the board of directors of the largest private orthopedic group in the state of Colorado, Panorama Orthopedics. He serves as chief of surgery at Ortho Colorado Hospital and has a seat on its medical executive committee. In addition to this, he has expanding real estate portfolio. He's the founder and principal at Lion Park Capital. He's acted as limited partner and general partner on several deals. His interests, and obviously that of Lion Park Capital, are in raising capital and being an active participant in multifamily apartment syndication platforms. They are currently raising capital for their 11th deal. All right, Nimish, welcome to the show. So tell me a little bit about your journey through here. It looks like you found a great balance between still the love of being an orthopedic trauma surgeon and the real estate and your whole lifestyle. Just tell me a little bit more about how you worked into that, because a lot of docs are struggling.
Absolutely. This is something that developed over time. I didn't start getting into real estate thinking this was my end goal. This is where I was going to end up. I've been in real estate for probably over a decade now. Very traditional setup, like you hear a lot of people, not just physicians, but people in general, they get into maybe a single family home, rent it out to a tenant, and start to generate some kind of cash flow, build some wealth, all the advantages of that. And I did a couple of iterations of that. We got up to two or three single family homes, and it was fine. It was worked with my schedule, and that was the key part. At the end of the day, I mean, I knew that I still wanted to be a surgeon. This wasn't an exit strategy to leave medicine. It was just something that I kind of do outside of medicine to kind of keep some balance. And I started in that space. And then along that same time, a good friend of mine I went to college with was expanding into multifamily investing and apartment complexes. And for those who are familiar with syndications, you raise capital for a large deal and you get a series of investors to participate from a passive perspective. And that's how I started. I would invest X amount of dollars in these deals as a limited investor and with the goal of being in real estate, but generating passive income. Again, at the end of the day, I still had a full-time job. I was a full-time physician and I knew I wanted to get in the space, but not overwhelm my life and take away from my day job. So that's kind of how I just slowly went from just only being a physician to getting into real estate. And then I was just generally interested in real estate and I enjoyed this space. It was neat how people grew and expanded and scaled. And I just kept learning and talking to people and had mentors and got eventually onto the GP side of these syndications, where up to that point, I was telling people, but hey, you should check out being a limited investor and getting passive income. And I had nothing to gain out of it. I was just kind of sharing the benefits I enjoyed out of it. And then next thing I knew, I had a fair number of people talking to me and asking me advice. And I just basically organized it into what today is Lion Park Capital, where I help connect physicians, busy professionals, colleagues who want to get into real estate, but just don't know how to take that first step. And I basically connect them with good assets on the sponsor side. So I know two or three really good sponsors who I trust. They do a great job of finding good assets that to invest in. And I basically connect the dots from that perspective. So that's kind of where I got today. And this framework allows me to still be an orthopedic surgeon and do what I enjoy doing without having to sacrifice time away from that.
How much time do you spend on your real estate side versus the physician side at this point?
Sure. Yeah. So the physician side is full time. I mean, I have a full clinic. I have full OR schedules. I take call as a trauma surgeon. So it's no different than my partners. I have found ways to just be a little bit more savvy with my time and try to be efficient with it. So I would say on the real estate side, I probably spend maybe 5 to 8 hours a week, if that. 8 hours is a busy week. Otherwise, I'd say about 5 hours is pretty standard. And, you know, I wake up a little extra hour early a couple of days a week. I might have a meeting here or there. I do have help. When I started, I was doing it by myself. But now I do have someone who works with me on a regular basis that frees me up to focus on what I want to do on the real estate side, which is talking to investors and having these conversations. And she helps me with a lot of the back office administration logistical things.
Is your help somebody you have locally or a virtual assistant?
Yes. Yeah. So coincidentally, she's local. She's in Colorado. Okay. However, I use her in a virtual manner. We've only met in person maybe twice. And oh, really? She's been with me for over a year now. Yeah. So it just worked out. She's local, but it's very much of a virtual structure we have.
How did you find the person? Did you put out an ad for that or?
Yeah, we did. Yes. I went to indeed.com. And basically what I did is all the duties I was doing, we just made it as a job description. And that these are things I just needed help to unload so I can just keep my time available for, again, my job as a physician and growing the real estate investor side of Lion Park Capital. And we put a job description together, looked for a skill set and interviewed a handful of people and she worked out. It was great. She's
awesome.
Still with us now.
Yeah. It's interesting how much, just when you said that, I thought about how many docs and you're like, oh, I'm so busy and I got this and then your family yes. responsibilities and all these things. And when you're making a good salary and you start deciding like, what's the best use of your time and absolutely. What would it be worth to offload stuff? And I wish I had taken that leap years sooner and gotten rid of responsibilities.
Right. I agree 100%. And it took me a long time to get my head around this. And I would say that's one of the secret lessons. I think if physicians know early on in the career, it can supercharge their growth, whatever it is they want to do and free up their time. And the reality is in this example, you know, I got someone with a specific skill set in real estate who can kind of navigate the space. I understood what I was trying to do. But even before that, I mean, the idea of having a virtual assistant, maybe someone from overseas or something you can get online just to help with your day-to-day life and managing your family and you're just making it easier for finding someone to help you get your groceries. And it's not very expensive. And for the amount of mental brain damage and the time it frees you up, in retrospect, it's a no-brainer that this should be standard that a lot of people should incorporate.
For me, it was this hard thing about like, what do I have them do? Can I trust them?
Yes.
And
yes.
It wasn't till I had a VA, because I have a VA who helps with the real estate stuff who's in the Philippines.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I made that leap and then talking to her, yes. finding out that it's a really good job for them versus working in like an AT&T call center, because I think that's where she worked before. Working with an American entrepreneur is like this really cool job and they prize that and they can find you other good people. And it's not like, I don't know, somehow this untrusting part, like there's some criminal out there trying to take care of things. And once you make that leap, it's a pretty interesting thing on how it can change your approach.
Right.
Like I find something and I'm like, oh, I want to implement this and I barely have time to get through it. And a couple right. times I've like, I bought a course and I gave it to her and I'm like, go through this course and put it in our stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was awesome. It's done.
That's right. And so you touch on something, right? Like when you're first thinking about getting a VA or assistant, you're like, what will I have them do? It's turned into the exact problem right now is I almost have more things I can think of that I have my VA now doing. That's like kind of what you just exactly brought up, right? There's this item needs to get done. Hey, what did you please take care of it? See how far it goes. And then if it unloads 2 to 3 hours a week, it's super valuable. And that's kind of how I've been able to incorporate, and which I'm sure you probably had a lot of guests say the same thing as well as yourself, how you stay busy with your normal day job and yet still able to expand what your capabilities are.
You know, looking back, it was always one of those things that I was like, well, wait a minute, what I make being a doctor compared to what it costs to hire somebody.
Yes.
it's like, what is my time worth and how should I be using it? And so all these little things that then you can have somebody else take care of is pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
So you got this person helping you and you started raising capital. So it started out that you were just kind of telling the other docs like, hey, look, you guys should look at this because it's a different way to go. So when you started raising capital for real and you kind of started Lion Park Capital, was that something that you started reaching out to more people or just kind of reached a point that you said, wow, you saw this connection, said might as well just make this a formal thing?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it started off with a typical story, just friends and family. And my very first deal I raised for was actually I did my own syndication by myself. I'd already been part of several syndications, a limited investor, and I kept learning and kind of getting further educated. And then I felt comfortable enough to do a deal by myself. It wasn't a big deal. It was only 20 units, but I did all the debt sourcing, the asset management, collecting the investors, building the PPM. I did all that by myself while being, you know, the full-time physician job. And throughout that process was great. I learned a ton and I learned that there's no way I could do this at scale. Like there's no way I'm going to be able to do this over and over. At a certain level of quality of doing it as well as the guys who do this full time and nothing else. And that's when I made that transition to kind of, okay, I know I'm going to be in real estate. I know I'm going to be on the general partner side, but I'm going to partner up with sponsors to do a great job of sourcing deals. They have the infrastructure to do underwriting really well. And then I partner up to help where I can fit my role in and help connect investors to these deals. So that's kind of been that kind of transition I was able to do early on with Lion Park.
Did you get any pushback from other docs as you kind of became more and more known as the real estate guy?
So interestingly, I was very cautious and very nervous about talking to any of my partners or any of the guys I work with about it, only because I didn't want to come across salesy or come across I'm trying to push this new investment, you got to jump on board. I was very much sharing just what my experience was as a limited investor. So what happened was I probably was raising capital for about 2 or 3 years outside of the guys I actually work with. And then word got out that I was doing this. And then it got to the point where they were coming to me asking about it. So that was a much more comfortable position for me to be in, at least where I'm not trying to, well, I want to share the information, but I don't want to share in a way that, hey, I'm going to share you this content, but why don't you participate in this deal I'm part of? So I was trying to walking a fine line from that perspective. Now, again, it's enjoyable. Like I'm talking to people who want to get into real estate. They're asking, okay, how do I take advantage of the tax benefits? What are the returns like? What's the timeline of the deal? So then they're coming in almost primed to be part of these projects. And I just help. I'm a resource for them and connect them to the asset.
Oh, that's awesome. As I started talking to docs that a lot of them were interested, but had a really hard time pulling the trigger the first time. Right. It was like this big, scary world. Do you see that?
Absolutely. And that's what's great about my conversations with people. I started the exact same way. I was super nervous about it. It's like, well, what if I lose my shirt? We obviously worked super hard. Not that other people don't work hard, but you know, physicians, we already had enough delayed gratification that I don't want to put X amount of dollars in something and lose it in 2 years. So it was a pretty cautious step from my perspective on a personal note to take that first step. So knowing that I went through it, I understand where they're coming from. I just kind of share like how I took that first step, just got led down the pathway with education and right guidance from mentors who are doing it. And that's basically what I'm providing for them. And I back it up with plenty of objective information. Here's resources you can look at yourself. And that way it fits that model of, okay, building that trust factor, that certainty of like, how do we make people comfortable to expand into real estate? They don't know how to take that first step without worrying about losing the capital that they worked so hard to put in there. So we do focus a lot on capital preservation and how do we mitigate risk. And that's a lot of the deals that I'm part of. And we make sure that all the investors that work with us are very comfortable with that before they even make their first investment.
I always had this interest in real estate, but then really pushing into it was more kind of that had one of those last straw moments with the stock market and with the people managing it. Do you see that where docs coming in? You know, for me, it was that I'm looking at this managed portfolio and I'm like, okay, the S&P is up 15% last year and my stuff is up 6%. Yeah. And they're like, no, no, you're up 15%. And then as we go back through it, like, oh, so what I'm missing, that other 9% is all the fees between this layering of mutual funds into things. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Do you,
yeah.
I guess you, Do you see that out of docs that they're like, or is it more? Because I talked to some people and they did this very natural diversification. And other people, it's like this dragging, like, I'm just going to do the thing that everybody else is doing.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because, as you know, right, you talk to enough people, it's human nature. Remember, hey, the years what I made 20% in the stock market. And we forget about the 3 years that followed that, that we actually made single digits, if not lost money. And then it all bounces out to a much lower number once you blend everything, right? So obviously, the stock market equities have been around a long time. I definitely, when I talk to people, to each their own, right? Everyone's got their own philosophy. Everyone feels like they have it figured out. And I am very kind of clear in these are my parameters. These are my restrictions is, hey, here is a different part of investing. It diversifies things. It makes sense. The returns are on par with the good years in the stock market without the volatility. And I'm the first one to say, I wouldn't put all my money in real estate, but it's a very compelling argument that it makes just as good a sense to do this as it is to put money with a financial advisor where you may or may not truly understand the investment thesis of what's going to happen. And in real estate, and I'm sure your experience is the same, right? You can follow a business plan. You find a property that's in the market. Their rents are maybe X amount of dollars less than the other places across the street. Increase the value, make it nice. You can justify the rent increase, justify the revenue increase, which then increases the value of the property. It's not like some speculative behind the scenes kind of information process. Like it's all front and center. And all of us as physicians follow a system information to make a decision. And this makes sense. And that's what I love about it. So to your point of like to your discussion, your question about the equities or even when people talk about returns in other spaces, it's a good, healthy conversation. But I haven't come across people who can sit and have a discussion about real estate and say it's a bad area to be in. It just makes sense. So like, as long as you make the right decisions and choose the right assets.
We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. All right. You talk in your bio about we're taking care of people and at the same time protecting your career from these external pressures by being proactive in your finances. So tell me a little bit more about your feelings on that and how you are putting these things together to help other people on this side too.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I got into real estate, it was just, I was just interested to get in that area. As I've been more into it, and anybody who's been in medicine for more than 10 years, and we've all seen the transition. We've all seen the changes of how healthcare is going. For private practice, it's more and more expensive to run a business as it is to run any business. And then we're also in a field where there's yearly cuts in our reimbursement. So for the same amount of take-home pay that we generated maybe 5 years ago, I worked X amount. Now I have to work 15, 20% harder to maintain that same take-home pay. And at some point, it's going to hit a limit, right? There's only so much more that we all can work in a typical work week. And it's not healthy for anyone. It's not healthy for the physician. It's not healthy for the patient-doctor relationship. Because at the end of the day, if I'm having to think about working 20% more each year, then I got to see more patients, spend less time with them. And it's not what we want to do, right? As physicians, we want to spend time. We want to take care of people. Patients definitely don't want to feel rushed when they come to us for help. So it's really a lose-lose situation. So as I was in real estate and was kind of just growing it out of just pure interest, I've slowly learned that, man, if I didn't have that, I would be in this day-to-day grind where my take home or my income I generate for my family is all tied to just getting through more and more patients in the clinic, more and more surgeries from a week-to-week perspective. And that's just not how I want to practice medicine. And I think for anyone who's starting their career in medicine, it's really important to pay attention to this early on. So you build yourself out a structure in a way that you practice medicine for why we went into it, to help take care of people and be passionate about it, but then disconnect the financial take-home incentive from our just the volume of patients we see. So obviously easier said than done. You know, we chose real estate as that model. You don't have to do real estate. It's just a matter of like, how do we do what we're passionate about, which is ultimately everyone's goal in life, right? Just be passionate about what you do for your career and go with it. We are lucky enough to have found that passion and we got into medical school. We got through training. And the worst thing I hate to hear is docs who've been practicing for 5 years, more or less, say, you know what, this is just not worth it anymore. I'm burning out. It's not worth my time. And all that time and education and dedication just went thrown out the window to go do something else. So my goal, or kind of one of my missions with Mindfar Capital, is, okay, how do we keep doctors happy? How do we help maintain the quality of healthcare? And if the real estate pathway is one of those ways to do that, I think it's a win for everybody from that perspective.
So you've been working now with residents to help them start this process sooner of thinking about their financial future, not just their medical future.
Right. So like what we've done, for example, we have residents that work with us for the regular clinical rotation. They come probably like 6-9 months out of the year, work with us. And it's a good opportunity to kind of show them how we do orthopedic trauma at a level trauma center. And that's their main goal. But along with that, they're coming from an academic situation or academic institution, and they're working with us and we're in a private setting. So it gives us opportunity to show them real world. Hey, this is how healthcare is. This is how what it takes to run a private practice. It's not like the idea of like, as soon as I'm out of this university setting, I'm going to go work in the private world and everything's going to be so much easier and better. It's just not the case always. And there's some realities of how to make it more optimized for you and productive from that perspective. But there's some realities you have to just know about. And in that, just letting them know the truth of, hey, I show up every day, I do cases, I do clinic, but there is a cost to running a business. And at some point, the more diversified you are with your income streams, the better. And I think the quicker they recognize that, the better. And again, as a resident, we all know we're not, you don't exactly have a ton of money in the bank. You have a fair amount of loans and debt you're dealing with. So, but even just having the mindset of thinking in this manner is can make dramatic changes in their early careers.
Yeah, because you first come out, you spend so much time. It's like you got to put on the blinders and dig in and get through medical school and get through residency. And all of a sudden, you've just had the blinders on. It can be hard to start thinking about those other things. Right, at residency, you're still feeling the pressure like, oh my goodness, now I'm really responsible.
Absolutely right. And you're right. I mean, it's head down, grind it out. Don't think of anything else, which is important. I'm not going to take away from that by any means. I went through a surgical residency and fellowship. I know how all that works. But the reality is, you know, there's also this thought process, well, we'll just wait here and attending. You're going to make X amount of dollars. It all work out. But the reality is we know it doesn't always work out. So the other information we know is like the time value of money. The quicker you take that first step to invest that first dollar and save it for yourself, that starting to compound makes a dramatic difference. I mean, even saving a few thousand dollars as a resident does make a dramatic difference 10 years later when you're trying to now work and generate net income after taxes of, again, X amount of dollars to then save it for your future. So it's really a philosophy to learn early on. And we've all heard these stories, right? Doctors have the delayed gratification. They get their first check. They spend a bunch of money, buy a new car, buy a house. And again, we're in that same boat where we're not saving any money until you're several years into your practice and you realize, well, now I'm grinding it out again, seeing lots of patients, doing lots of surgeries. And it's this endless cycle that at some point there has to be an interjection where I need to start off on the right foot.
You know, I'm looking back and I'm thinking about how much time we spent studying during all that time. And if there was a formatted way and someone showed me, and whether I would have done it, I don't know, whether it's a half an hour a day or a half an hour, 3 days a week to start the financial education. I don't know. I mean, where the difference would have been. Because most people, if you're in business, by the time you're making money, you've learned a lot about how that all works.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like doctors and athletes that you start making money, but you don't have to understand anything about it when you start making it, which makes it that much more difficult to figure out what to do with it to set yourself up for the future.
Yeah. And it's a good point, because if you think about when people are in medicine, they're in training, you don't hear stories of physicians leaving medicine because they, maybe some people, but not the majority, they hate the core amount of the core part of the work, right? You don't see a lot of surgeons leaving surgery because they hate surgery, or primary care because they don't like talking to patients. I mean, that's not the pain point of our careers. The pain point is this lack of financial understanding, and the lack of financial understanding results in extra pressures in our day-to-day job. And in the end of the day, I mean, I think part of medical training, as important as the clinical side is, it's also like, how do we keep the balance for physicians moving forward? Like, how do we keep their general happiness in the field? And the field isn't just the clinical practice. It's that it's a work-life balance. It's a financial side of things. Like, how do we keep everyone in the right direction so they want to stay in medicine?
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today, because that's a very important thing about how do we keep doctors in medicine enjoying what they're doing and not burning out. And so please join us back for the second half of our discussion with Dinesh. And we're going to dig into some strategies even more on this topic. And thank you to all our listeners for being here. And we'll see you next time on Surgeon Syndicate. We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital, and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money, I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.